there's muffled howls of just screams of pain and despair from inside the pot. How is Blackie going to take that? I think there's going to have to be a willpower check here. It's going to be willpower plus survival. See if he does something ridiculously stupid. Oh! Blackie does something ridiculously stupid.
Knights of the Tabletop presents Ronin Roleplaying,
an actual play role-playing podcast run and played entirely solo by your host, Scormy.
Does that mean it's going to suck on ice? Probably.
Oh, he's not that bad. You've actually had this show before, right? The master is an absolute joke.
Dwarf, hand me over an ale and the popcorn. I smell a powerful failure coming on this episode. Get your own damn snacks, monster!
Pipe down, all of you! Now then, here's your host, Scormy!
Welcome again to Ronin Roleplaying Podcast. I'm your host, guide, and victim, Scormy. Now, today, we'll be picking up again with a little bit of D13 RPG, a little bit of cinematic episodic horror. Of course, we'll be using Game Master's Apprentice cards as our oracle. We're using the Weird Horror deck again, freshly shuffled and ready to go. Also, between this week and last, I went ahead and prepared a little bit. Went ahead and drew for some more names of those nasty teenagers whom our hero, and I'm willing to call him a hero now, Blackie, he'll be hunting, starting with this episode, along with his friend. That remains to be seen. Now then, shall we begin? When last we left, Blackie had made a bit of a deal with a invisible presence, other than its two glowing eyes, which towered above him, despite being in a branch of an oak tree a good 12 feet off the ground. This poor kitty is looking into the glowing eyes of a being probably 13 feet tall, who told him that he had been summoned by the nasty teenagers who tortured and killed Blackie's friend, Yvonne, and in doing so, summoned him. But when Blackie ran through and broke their circle, attempting to do something, not much he can do against seven teenagers, being just a little black cat. But he ran up and bravely clawed at the priestess's face. Well, then running away, because he's a cat, that managed to break their control of him, of the being, but he's stuck here until they're dealt with, whatever that might mean. So, he has requested that Blackie assist, calling him Little Hunter, asking him to help separate the teens, get them off by themselves, and he'll do the rest. Now, this Halloween ought to be quite fun, if you're into that sort of thing. And since you're listening to this show, you probably are. Anyway, so this is probably a ridiculously bad thing for poor little Blackie, but at least he's not in the cast iron pot over the fire, now is he? So, I'm thinking that, well, since my noise canceling software is kind of making it really hard to do the growly, otherworldly voice of the being, it's going to do a lot of pointing and gesturing from now on. It's also easier on my voice. So, I think it's going to, yes, emphatic yes, in fact, it's going to do something. Well, Blackie can't see it because it's invisible, but it reached out, and suddenly Blackie doesn't hurt anymore, healing the damage that he took when he didn't quite make that jump. Sure, it's only 2 points, but he only has 8 hit points. So, yeah, he been healed. We'll just start fresh, let's say. And it will give a feeling to Blackie, communicating into his mind that an image of one of the teens, who's not that far away, maybe 100 yards, off with a bottle of whiskey or something, some alcohol in one hand, and his rather small flaccid penis in his other, as he is urinating on the back of a tombstone, whistling softly to himself as he blurbs down alcohol. And so Blackie's been given a target. Now, what is he going to do? I think, well, Blackie is obviously really good at escaping. We've determined this already. 5 athletics, 5 stealth, 5 grace, 4 wits. He can handle himself in those sorts of situations. So, this little black cat makes excellent bait. But how does he get that drunk piece of filth's attention? Well, what it did last time worked really well. Yeah, I think that'll work really well. It wasn't a great idea, but none of this is a really great idea. Before he knows it, Blackie's already out of the tree and running carefully back through the fence and working his way carefully, trying not to be seen, in his prey's direction. And I get the feeling that moving through the dark like this, staying to the shadows, there's only moonlight above, and even that is but a sliver on this cold Halloween night. It's clear. There's some fog rising, but only a little so far. But there are no clouds, no rain, no wind. And he gets, it's like that normally terrifying teen male drinking and, well, pissing on a tombstone, which would normally terrify him, and he would stay as far away as possible. It's like a bird. It's like a mouse. Defenseless. Alone. It's nothing compared to him. Now, does this have anything to do with having a demon in his mind? Oh, yeah. Yeah, probably. Probably, just a little bit. Don't make deals, kids. Not on Halloween. Not with things 13 feet tall and invisible. So, where do we go from here? I think, well, we had a plan, did we not? I think he's just going to be reckless about this. I'm not even going to roll. I'm just going to make a decision. I'm just going to go do it. What I'm going to do is roll for inebriated scum's reaction. Let's give it a basic nope. Sometimes rolling high is a good thing for my purposes. Now, it occurs to Blackie, how much urine is in this kid? He just keeps going. He's been peeing for 2 minutes. Oh my. He probably should, you know, go to the vet about that. Anyway, a little bit of early kidney damage going on here. Certainly liver damage. Regardless, it's not going to matter much longer. Now, if you listen to last week's episode, Blackie ran through the circle of cultists, ran right up their priestess front, clawed his way to her face, and tried to take her eyes out. It didn't work, damage-wise, but it did a lot better than he expected before leaping off and running away. That was way more successful. This, he doesn't need to do damage. He's going to, I think, run up this guy's back. And I envision that he's, again, just wearing regular clothes. They've gotten out of their robes. And his pants are, you know, worn, sagging. So he's got boxers coming up that he can see. And above that, there's a roll of some, he's not fat, but he's heavy. And so he's got a roll of skin right there. And the shirt doesn't quite pull down. He's unkempt and drunk. He's not really pulling his shirt down. And so Blackie is going to run up his back and bite him right in the back fat roll. Do a little hand-to-hand. I'm not good at it, but I don't have to do damage to get his attention. No, he doesn't really do any real damage, but he bites him a good nip. Considering that this guy, and we need to determine which one of this guy, of the guys it is. There's four of them. I'll roll a d4. It is number two. That would be Anton. He'll yipe in surprise. Does he drop his alcohol? Oh, yes. Does he? He drops everything. And since he can't apparently stop urinating, he pees all over himself as his little thingy pulls back inside his fly. It won't matter. Having surprise, Blackie will now leap away back towards the fence. And I rolled a 3. I simply needed a 10 or less. No problems. Full speed running through the fence. No, not full speed. He wants to stay in view. Lead him away, he thinks. He slows a bit, looks back over his shoulder. Make sure the drunk is can see him. Does he? No. All right. So Blackie will shuffle around some in the grass he's in. It's a little high grass. This is the older section of the graveyard, recall. You may recall. And now he'll make some noise in the grass and hiss. Hiss. And he's thinking, meow, damn it! Does it get his attention? Okay, that gets his attention. This angry, lumbering, heavy-set, slovenly drunk comes stumbling out after him. I'm going to say, with his left hand, he's reaching back and rubbing his back while he went ahead and gathered up his alcohol and starts trying to give chase as best he can. He's not very quick about it, but it's something. So, I think I'm going to use this opportunity to slip through the fence. Don't need to roll for that. It's super easy. Barely an inconvenience. And let's see. I think that I'm going to try to stay. It's dark here. He knows humans don't do well in the dark. And with this, a thin sliver of moon, it's even darker still. So he's going to have to work hard to make sure that this person can keep an eye, still see him, still keeps his, you know, attention. And it runs against all of his instincts. He would normally be fleeing up into the easiest tree and just gone. He'd disappear. This human would never find him again. But no, he's waiting while it tries to... What's it doing? Is it trying to cross? Okay. It can't get through the fence, obviously. He's heavy set, so no. Let me guess. Is he going to try to climb over the wrought iron fence? Yes. And how successful is he going to be at this? Not very. Oh. Let's see. Is there possibly a break in the fence? How did these kids get in here in the first place? It is an old section of the graveyard. Perhaps some of the fence is down or damaged. If anyone knows, Blackie would. He knows these woods. He's lived here his entire life. So, let's see. Is there a damaged fence line he can lead this drunkard to? Yes. All right. Perfect. So let's do that. But I'm going to have to work harder to try and keep his attention. I'm thinking that since I didn't actually damage him, the pain started to wear off and he's now drinking again, and is he starting to wander away? No, we can't have that. This is harder than I thought. Okay. See if I can get his attention. No. Well, leading him away isn't working very well. What can I... Oh! He's just got an evil thought. Partially because he's a cat. Partially because of his bargain, let's say. We're running straight back for, this was Anton? Yes. Running back straight for this drunk fool. Now, we're not coming from stealth, so I'm going to have to make a proper stealth attack. Not hard, though. Indeed, not hard at all. Now, please tell me that I can manage to roll this. Please, please, please. Yes. I needed a 5 and I got a 5. Okay. So, picture this. He's this drunk fool drinking. Pretty much forgotten about Blackie now. Starts to turn to head back deeper into the graveyard when out of the mist and darkness comes a black panther, only very, very small, and teeth bared, eyes flashing as he leaps at the drunkard's open fly in his pants. Maw open. One mighty bite. I give permission to all the males and in the audience to cringe now and picture for yourself a black cat angry and hissing. Hanging teeth off of your... Yes. Oh, and I'll add in thrashing at the same time. Oh, the screaming is mighty from this one. Now, somewhere in the back of Blackie's mind, as he's thrashing and yanking and ripping with his teeth like he's got a rat in his mouth and he's fighting it for its death blows. There's plenty of blood, trust me. Now, anyway, while he's doing this, in the back of his mind, he there's this small survival instinct saying, let go, get away. But no. His eyes close tight. Teeth close tight too. Claws flashing at whatever he can get. He hears blood pumping through his ears and, as if in the distance, screaming. I mean, a high-pitched wailing of despair, and I'm expecting he should probably feel... No. I thought he would feel blows, an attack, but no, emphatically. He feels no attacks upon him. And the wailing just stops. And I think Blackie will kind of stop flailing and open his eyes. Teeth still closed as tight as he can. Open his eyes and swinging quietly, he looks up and he sees this drunk, his eyes clear, not looking at him. He's looking behind Blackie, beyond Blackie, back towards the fence with a look of absolute horror crossing his face. Not just from a cat being attached to his appendage, but just as if he can see something there that isn't there. And then his head just removes from his shoulders like it's a cork popped out of a champagne bottle with relevant spray, of course. And the head goes flying backwards into the woods. He can hear it brushing through the tree limbs, bouncing off branches. And the body stands briefly, and it starts to wobble for a brief second. And finally a thought comes through. May want to let go. Oh, yeah. Releases jaws and drops as it falls forward and lands in the grass. He falls between its legs. Sticky. All he smells is blood. Not just in his mouth, but all over the place. He got sprayed. But then so did a lot of stuff. Actually, no, we were away from tombstones, so the grass, sure, but didn't I mention the mist? So I wonder how well that's going to be visible. Now, I think Blackie will probably be a little reluctant to look back over his shoulder for a moment, but being curious, he is a cat, he can't help himself, and licking his chops, he'll look back and he sees the legs start to move towards the fence, and it's the body being dragged as if there's something large and unseen, because that's exactly what's happening, dragging it to the fence and then flinging it into the air, and it flips over the fence and into the darkness of the woods. Wow. That's all Blackie can think is just wow. And then that one was for you, Yvonne. No, it wasn't, he thinks. That wasn't the kid who nagged Yvonne. Nor was it the kid who dumped Yvonne into a pot and roasted her alive. No, nor was it any of the ones who stood around and watched. This was just one of the other boys. He still got work to do. And he gets this feeling in his mind. Next. And then he feels like the presence is gone. Okay. So that tells me it's time for him to track down one on his own. Sounds like the presence spotted one for him. Now he has a little bit more experience. Maybe the next one will be a little easier. Of course, we'll see how it goes. So we'll mark that one off. This leaves us with our primary focus, the priestess. Two more boys and two more girls. Well, let's see what we find. I think we're going to have to ask, is it someone by them? Can we find one by themselves or in a pair? Well, I can't ask both questions, so can we find one by themselves? Yes, we can. I think we established already that the girls were all at the mausoleum. So it's going to be one of the two boys. We'll go ahead and roll. Even. So that would be the second of them. Marvin, you are marked. Oh, I'm sorry. There were three left. Not two. That's okay. We'll stick with Marvin. Let's see. We will go ahead and see if we get an idea about what's going on with them. Huh. Ah, this is an excellent card for an idea. Yes. He's wandering through the shadows as normal, listening and smelling, trying to find something, and also trying to rub off some of that blood, because it's the smell of the blood is messing up his ability to pick up a scent. Again, no breeze. Well, in not too long, Blackie hears sobbing. Actual heartfelt sobbing. And considering what's happened here, it's rather striking. I mean, why would a human be out here crying? I mean, it's a graveyard, people mourn, but considering the circumstances, it seems a little odd, at least to Blackie. But then he smells it. It's a smell he's picked up off of some of the more pathetic unfortunates he's found in alleyways towards the edges of the suburb, just at the very edge of the residential area, usually near bars. Of course, he smells cheap booze, but something else in amongst the sweat and teenage just angst. He smells desperation. And there is one of those boys sitting by a tombstone, leaning on it, drinking from a bottle wrapped up in a paper bag. As he sits there in his stylish clothes, stylish in quotes, think somewhere between a cross between 80s punk and goth. You know, lots of black, but also lots of piercings and yeah, neither one works, and most people see him a poser in either community. That sort of thing. He takes his glasses off and wipes away the tears as he just can't stop crying. This poor sap is heartbroken. And for a moment, Wacky feels almost a little, what's the word? Sad. Feels a little sad for that person. I mean, he absolutely deserves what's going to come, but that's not the point. No one should feel that way. Everyone deserves to have a home and be loved. But these are the tears and mourns, the moans of a just someone who lost everything. Blackie knows that feeling. He knows it when he saw the bag his brothers and sisters were in sunk into the stream, and only he was able to make it out. He knows that feeling when he was on the shore, cold, wet, no one to care for him but himself. But there's a difference between me, Blackie thinks, and that. I took the bad hand I was given, and I made a life out of it. I survived. I didn't just sit down and cry to myself. I fought. And now the more he thinks about it, the more he looks at this sobbing wreck of a teenage boy, he feels not sad, feels contempt. This one is a victim. This one's a mouse with a broken leg. A bird with a bad wing. If anything, I'm doing the little filth a favor. But what to do with him? Well, I of course have ideas. Let's see. Obviously, I'm going to be able to come at him from surprise. That's not an issue. But what should I do? Part of me doesn't want to just leap in his face and get him to chase me. No, it's enough of a victim on its own. What was it the being said? Separate them. Indeed, I'm going to roll perception and wits. In fact, I'm going to climb up on the tombstone that this poor sad sack is leaning on and crying next to. He's not paying attention to me. It's a good viewpoint and it makes a good point. I don't fear this one. Okay, that's a 4. And where was that again? Perception. Oh, yeah, I didn't. That would have been fine if it was just wits, but add on 5 more. So, no, I'm good. So, I'm going to look around and what's making this little victim so upset? Oh, there's, could it be that? Let's roll. See if it comes to mind. Yes, yes. Nearby, down the hill, there's a small family crypt. Small compared to the mausoleum anyway. And inside, he can see 2 of the teenagers rutting. And since that's the way that this poor fool is looking, well, it occurs to me, that would be where his sorrow comes from. So, okay. But these are also the nearest figures, or are they? Let me check. Yes. Okay. No problem. So, is there anyone else nearby, though? No. Okay. That will work out just fine. So, I need to get those 2 separated. And I need to distract them. That'll work out nicely. I have an idea. I think I'm going to jump off the tombstone away from into the mist, away from this guy. Not that he's going to pay attention to me anyway, but you know what? If I need to, I'll go ahead and roll that stealth roll. Yeah, I'm good. I got a 3. No problem. 10 or less, I'm good. Anyway, so what I haven't rolled is doubles yet. Not yet. I'm waiting for that to happen. Anyway, so I'm now back in stealth mode. I'm going to sneak around, again, staying to the shadows and the mist. Not that they're paying attention. I mean, they're too busy doing their thing. But what do I do to them? Going to have to figure out a particular thing. You know, cats like to play with toys, don't they? Cats really like to play with toys. And I'm guessing I'm a cat. I don't have to sneak up on them. They're distracted, you might say. At least for the next 30 seconds or so. Teenage boy, it ain't gonna last long. So maybe I should hurry. Are they done before I can arrive? No. I'm impressed. So, remember the last plan? Let's kind of modify that. They're doing their old missionary style, because, you know, unimaginative teenagers going at it, doing their thing. She doesn't really seem overly into it, but she makes noise as though she's pretending. Because, you know, teenage boy. But teenage boys also have, well, most, have things in addition to their tackle. They have berries. All the boys can now feel free to cringe. Picture. They're at it, and you're looking from their heads back toward the door with the moonlight coming through and a shadowy black figure slinks in behind them and up between their legs. And a front paw raises, front right paw raises. Shink! Claws extended. Slash! Pretty sure I don't have to roll to attack. A slash. Right down the testes. The saggy ones, they didn't stand a chance. Now the good news here is I don't have to be chased. I could just zoom out, do my usual thing, a simple check for stealth. Double ones, I ninja into the darkness. Poof. All this mist is my smoke bomb. You got just girls crying out, "What the hell?" Ah! And the dude crying and grabbing himself and trying to chase out and us just bewildered and in just pain as he is flailing around, then rushes off naked into the dark, going the completely wrong direction. I think just as a matter of style, I'm going to go ahead and jump on up onto the crypt here, work my way up, you know, tombstone, then a little taller tombstone, then up over onto the crypt itself. If I must, I'll even make a check for that. Oh, look at that. Double threes. Not only do I succeed with style. As I sit there, a black little shadow up on top of a gargoyle's head above the doorway into this family crypt. And I'll look up at that tombstone up above, up a little ways up the hillside, where there was a sobbing boy drinking and, you know, trying to drown his sorrows. He's so heartbroken. The boy he loved. He's just can't be. He can't return his love. And he's just. The heartbreak and the sorrow and the head twisting completely around. Well, he's not sobbing anymore. And the body just kind of slumps. And Lackey will kind of just lean down, slink down into a hunter's pose. Like he's going to pounce. As a flash of red eyes appears and looks at him. And if they both could nod at each other, he knows there's recognition of a job well done. And as the mists are rising higher, the body just, with a quick movement, disappears and is drug away by an unseen force. Oh, yeah. Okay, so, now what? Well, I think I'm probably going to have to, well, do I even notice anything? No, of course not. So, you know what? I was going to check and see if, the boy I maimed, well, the second boy I maimed, the one who's still alive, although he probably wishes he isn't, if he turned back around. But no, I think that I may look around a little bit and see if I can spot that one, the one I scratched, which is putting it mildly, but okay, whatever. See if I can spot him, but oh, that's a one. Is he there to be spotted? No. I just, if I could see him, I would. But he must be out of view. Oh. I think that actually brings a thought to Blackie's mind. What if he ran away? Oh no. What if he ran for help? I can't rely on this, my partner, to find him as well. Oh no. But, at the same time, there's another one right here. This girl. She, too, is separated. Which one to go after? Oh, man. This is a tough choice. I mean, he may be a hunter, but he is a little hunter. And it's not every day that you go and chase, you know, humans for sport. Or is it sport? Wasn't it for revenge? Because if feeling less and less like revenge, feeling a whole lot more like fun. Really, really fun. Exciting. Yeah. He thinks again that the one that just had his head twisted near off, I guess the second one who, but no, the other one, his head was actually removed. So This one head attached, and he got off easy. He got off too easy. But I'm also torn, because while I know that the teenage boys are generally more dangerous, at least in Blackie's mind, to him, they're more of a threat to him historically. He's been chased by more boys than girls. He's seen more cats harmed by boys than girls. He knows it was a girl who did what she did to Yvonne. And as he's thinking this, the girl inside the crypt comes out. She's adjusting her clothes like she just hastily threw some on, trying to pull on some knee-high boots, wearing a skirt, relatively tight sweater. Hair's a little mussed up, but yeah. She seems confused and angry. Yeah, this Drew, does she notice me? I'm gonna say that yes. She looks up and sees a black kitty above the doorway, sitting on the head of a gargoyle, looking down at her. How does she react? I'm gonna say that she's, "Oh, what a sweet little kitty. I like kitties. Come here, kitty. Come here." And she's reaching up. And I drew for what I see, feel, smell, all that. And I see my vision growing dim, as if it's closing down to pinpoints. Everything else around us is slowly just disappearing until all I see is her face, her eyes, and all I feel is oh. This would normally be a failure. I have to get a 5 on my attack, hand-to-hand with Brawn. I rolled a 6, but again, double threes, auto success. I leap down into her face, hissing with claws extended. I think there may have been a scream. I couldn't tell if it was my yowling or her pathetic death cries. I don't care. We're falling backwards. Or more, she's falling backwards. I'm driving my prey into the ground. Her back slams into the steps below her, leading up to the crypt. I hear the wind knocked out of her. Perhaps there was a quiet sound of a bone cracking, I don't know. But she's thrashing and trying to grab me as I'm slinking and slashing at her face and eyes. This is just another bird. Just another bit of prey. You know, I didn't really eat dinner. Milk isn't much for a growing kitty, now is it? Is she able to strike me? No. Which is saying something, because I'm currently attached to her nose and slashing at her eyes. My back legs are also kicking and slashing at the same time. I envision they're probably digging into her neck as best I can. Not really thinking about it. Just slashing and tearing as best I can. There's blood and gore spilling out onto the steps. The fog is being pressed away with all the thrashing, but in time, her cries stop with choking and coughing, and there is that smell again. Blood. It's being coughed up all over my belly. Not to mention what's on my muzzle, in my fur. I feel some pain. Not much. I felt worse. And then she spasms a few times and stops. And there's just burbling bubbles coming up from her throat as she chokes on her blood. Now, I think I'm going to have to make a will check here. Another will plus survival. I succeeded. Got a 5, needed 7 or lower. So, I think it won't take me long to snap out of my... What was that? What? All I smell is blood and, well, some feces as well. The steps around us, the walkway, covered in blood. Most of it hers. Some of it mine, maybe? I can't tell. I know I hurt. My right side is quite sore. But I think I can still move okay. And I look at her and realize, well, not hungry anymore. Apparently in my, well, whatever that was, bit of anger, I ate her eyes. I've never seen a human like that. Mind you, I don't really feel bad. I just, there's a, in the back of my mind, this shock as realization dawns over me. Do I realize danger? Yes. Think there will be a feeling of a presence. And my survival instincts kick in. I quickly look around, but no, it's not one of the other humans. There's a presence ahead of me. And the pain goes away as I'm lifted by invisible hands in the air. And the thought, good kitty, comes to mind. Well, I guess we should call it there. So, until next time, remember, you can always drop by scormy.com for blog, Discord server, podcasts, you know, all your Scormy-related needs. And until next time, I'm Scormy, reminding you that if you can't play with your friends, you can always play with yourself.
Oh, hello again. We didn't expect anyone to actually make it until the end of the show. Demon, be a dear and wake up the announcer, will you?
Do I have to? He's such a dick. Takes one to know one, eh? I will bathe in your blood, little man.
Oh, get out of the way, you idiots. I'll take care of it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Ronin Roleplaying. Please join us again next time for another rousing adventure with your host, Scormie.